Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. You're listening to this recording because you responded to Paul Flood's barbecue sauce recipe. I hope you're able to use this, and I hope you're able to use some of the stories and some of the advice from Paul on how to start as a marketing consultant. You'll hear Paul, who's been in the trenches. He's been an HMA marketing consultant for about a year now, and you'll hear what's going on in his consulting practice, what it's like being a marketing consultant, what it's like working with clients, how he got his clients. Also, at the end of this recording, I have a bonus recording for you with another one of our HMA consultants. His name is Richard Emmons, and he's pretty new at the consulting game, and you'll hear what he's been doing and how he's been able to get clients. I hope you enjoy it, and thanks, and have a great summer, and enjoy Paul Flood's barbecue sauce recipe. I know I will. Let's get going. I just closed one today that was great. It is an insurance agency that I did an opportunity analysis for in November. He bought into the program, and I'm also charging him $12,000 to write 12 referral greeting cards for his clients and prospects, plus an additional $1,500 for the USP. Now, you met with this guy back in November, huh?
Right. He's actually my insurance agent, and I've known him for quite some time. He was a good friend of my brother-in-law's. And so when I told him about what I was doing initially, one of his concerns was the ability to handle additional business and leads that were coming in. So he needed to get some staff trained a little bit more in just the insurance business to ensure that when he started getting more leads and more referrals that he would be able to handle it. So he got that part of it done, and then I called him about the card program and ran through a demo with him on my site, and he said this is a no-brainer. And so I had also, part of the program that I bought, I did get a whole series of referral systems and referral strategies, so I was able to go to him with the referral set part of it, and I said, I will customize this for you. So he liked that a real lot. And when I went out there initially and was talking to him, I was not thinking of this being another revenue stream for me. But it turned into one rapidly where he said, I don't have time to write these things. Can you write them for me? And I'm like, oh, well, I already have all the materials because I bought the program. So I might as well, I'm just going to customize it for his agency. And that's where I got the $2,000 out of. And then we started talking about the USP again. And I had given him some suggestions. And he's been subscribing to my marketing newsletter. And based on those couple of things, he said, can you help me with this marketing message? And I said, yeah, I can do that as well. It was really nice because I went out thinking I was going to get the card program, but I walked away with another $3,500 in consulting fees.
That's excellent. Did he pay you up front?
Actually, it was Friday before vacation. I've got my proposal and the details of what I'm preparing, going to do for him for the money, and we're getting together at the end of this week to get everything started. And then while I was there, brother is also works for him, and he took my card and said, I've got another agency I know who would love to have this type of a program, so I think it'll be very, very good for the referrals.
You met a new client in your Dan Kennedy Mastermind group. I've seen them at several meetings, and they realized I had the expertise and the ability to rapidly implement a program for them versus them trying to learn and then implement. You closed the program for $6,000 for the USP and database. Tell me about that.
That was really exciting because they approached me at the mastermind meeting at the end of it and said, can we get together and so I can learn more about your services? Because during the mastermind meetings, I'd been doing a lot of critiquing of the marketing materials that they were creating, and they were pretty far off the mark, and everything that they were trying to do, it was all product-related versus benefits-related. I kept showing them what they needed to do, but every time they came back with something new, it was sort of the same type of approach. It came to me at the end of that meeting, and we set an appointment, so I went over the HMA system with her and said, for the first couple of pillars, I'm going to charge you the $2,000. What it is, it's a odor product that you spray on, spray on anything, and it gets rid of pet odors and mold and mildew and all this kind of stuff.
Did they buy into a franchise deal?
No, actually, they found the product. He was working for P&G, and she, I forget what business, she does short sales on real estate. he just got sick of the corporate world and didn't want to work for P&G anymore, and left them, and they found this product with the odor control product, and they started marketing it, and they were doing okay with it. They even actually paid like $25,000 or $30,000 to have an infomercial type thing put together, but that really didn't go very far for them and didn't work very well. So as I started looking at their website, once again, it was all very product-related versus benefit-related. So I closed them on developing USP and then also integrating that, you know, the number two pillar is integrating everything into the marketing materials. And I said, you know, they're selling with telemarketers who have no sales training. Or I'm going to do sales training and do some sales scripting for them for their telemarketers who are taking the orders. So showing them how to, you know, start with the USP, how to do probing questions for the customer, how to turn a 15 or 20 minute phone call into less than 5 minutes and get the order at the end of the call, because they're wasting a real lot of time on what they're doing right now. And then I told them on the third project, when we started getting into the database, is when I wanted to get a percentage of sales. And I think the product, I've seen it, and, you know, I'm very familiar with it. I think it has a real lot of potential, and he's right now has about 100 mini sites set up.
But did you use the traditional opportunity analysis for that presentation?
I did not need to do the opportunity, the full opportunity analysis, because they were able to gauge my level of marketing expertise based on the Dan Kennedy, our mastermind meeting, and input that I was giving to them and the help that I was giving to them. And they're saying, if you're giving us this much help just in these four-hour meetings where we're actually on the floor for about a half hour, then we consider it well worth it to hire you for a full project.
How did you handle that meeting? Just listening?
Yeah, a lot of listening, a lot of probing questions about what the marketing that they have been doing thus far, you know, number of calls they're receiving, number of hits they're getting to the site, and that type of, you know, quantifiable statistics that I could, you know, have something to start with and say, okay, well, what is your percentage of closing? You know, how many hits are you getting? What type of list are you building? And they're really doing, you know, that's where I also saw it, is they're getting all these calls and getting all of these emails, but they're doing nothing with the list. They have no type of autoresponder or anything like that set up. So I think this is pretty much of a slam dunk for me when I look at picking up the percentage of sales later on in the project. I was also talking to them, and I got this idea from your interviews with PayPal regarding the PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought, while she was, actually it was a really beautiful day, so we're sitting out on my my back porch, and I brought up, like, I went into eBay and said, here's who we joint venture with. And I just brought up pet products. And I said, here you got a company that, and we looked at the number of sales that they had, and I said, this is a power seller on eBay of this one pet product.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what I'll do is find people like that and say, we need a back-end, do you need a back-end product that we can joint venture on? And so I think that'll be a very, very serious joint venture opportunity as well, because obviously those people are going to have some serious lists that we can mail to as well, multiple niches, because what they have right now, Michael, is just odor exit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you need more back-end products, because once you get the sale and the people buy this and it lasts 2 years, we've got nothing else to go on.
All right, who else? Who else you got going?
Dry cleaner.
Tell me about it. How did you get the client?
I met him at a Chamber of Commerce after-hours event, and going around and talking to people. And he said, I had a chain of 5 stores in Atlanta. And he said, I was doing pretty well and bringing in about $600,000 a year. And for different reasons, he moved to Cincinnati, and he said, I've got this one store that I bought from some guy. He had was doing $1.2 million for a couple of years, and then he started doing sloppy work and lost a lot of his customers. So when I bought it, the sales were about $800,000 or so. He's really meticulous. I think he's Indian or Pakistani, and he's just extremely customer service oriented. But he's had no communication program with his regular customers at all. So right now he's doing about 950, and he wanted my help. I told him what I could do, And so he and his brother are partners in the business. And
did
so
you meet with them for an opportunity analysis?
I met with them for an opportunity analysis.
Did you use the traditional one, or did
I use the traditional.
Okay.
And I'm actually finding, and this is, you know, learning from David and Richard, is controlling the opportunity analysis can sometimes be a challenge with the small business owner because they want to share their expertise on their product so much, and controlling the conversation and keeping it coming back to the same message that I'm communicating can be tough, but, you know.
How do you do it? Do you give a tip on how you're able to do that?
Basically, what I've told them is just getting back and said, you know, can you see how this is going to help you? You know, see, yeah, he tells me something, okay, I do this for my shirts. And I said, well, you can see if we put that into your unique selling proposition that this is going to add value and enable you to do more sales. So I just keep coming back and say, okay, well, that's you know, very interesting. And how would you see this type of thing helping yourself?
After that opportunity analysis, did you close right there?
No, I needed to get back together with him, and his brother was not at the first call. He was supposed to be. So I got back together with him alone, and he said, I'm definitely going along. When you get back from your vacation, I'll have a check for you, and we're going to get started on it.
But what are you charging, and how many projects?
$2,000 a project. What I'm telling people, first three projects, it's basically going to be the flat fee, and I tell them I'm charging between $2,000 and $4,000, depending on you know the extent amount of work that I expect. And I said, when we get to the third or the fourth pillar, where we start joint venturing and things like that, then I want we're going to be looking at a percentage of sale. I want to be sure that we have comfort of working together before we establish any of the, you know, that type of partnership. And I said, once I complete the first three pillars of the system, we'll know if we have a good match. I'm telling them, you know, again, I'm looking for 15% of gross.
Okay. Any other clients you're working with now?
I'm working with my attorney.
All right. How'd that come about?
I forget. One of the people that you interviewed talked about how they stay away from attorneys because it's so difficult to get all the partners together, and I'm finding that. What I did is that when I set up my HMA business, I called him because I know him from way back. Actually, my sister was his wife's best friend in high school, so I knew he was an attorney, and so I told him this is what I'm doing. And he charged me $150 for the you know the initial consultation, and I called him 3 or 4 weeks later and said, Terry, do you know, I've heard nothing from you since I sat down with you. Why not? And he said, what are you getting at? I said, I'm getting at you told me for incorporating you're going to charge $1,800. You got $150 from me up front, and I haven't heard from you again. Don't you want my $1,800? So he was saying, I see what you're saying. I said, the bottom line is that, you know, all you've sent me is an invoice. You didn't send me a thank you note for my business. You have not followed up to see how my business is going. You did not offer me any type of a discount if I incorporated with you in the next 6 to 12 months. I said, these are the types of things that you need to be communicating with your clients. And I said, I know you do estate planning as well. I said, do you know anything about my will? And he said, no. And I said, why not? So I was asking those types of questions of, you know, just saying, I said to him, how many children do I have? How long have I been married? What are my estate planning needs? What are my tax needs? Because one of the partners is also a CPA. I said, so I could be worth $8,000 to $10,000 to you. Plus, obviously, the taxes, that's, you know, ongoing annually. But all you've gotten out of me is $150, and if I didn't call you and tell you those things, then you would have gone, you would have just taken my $150, and that would have been it.
How did he respond?
He said, well, let's get together. I did opportunity analysis with him and the other two partners, and I just, you know, once again, just going through the, I went through the analysis pretty step-by-step with them. You know, they were, you know, they're fairly conservative. You know, Cincinnati is a conservative town to begin with, and they're conservative attorneys in a conservative town. You know, they wanted to be sure that I wasn't going to try to make them like the guys who are on TV who are the ambulance chasers. So I was, you know, trying to be very sensitive and very, very, very specific. So I did interviews with them. I did the focus group interview with the staff. I went to competitive websites, and I prepared their USP. And I had another meeting with them regarding the USP and said, okay, well, this is what I've come up with, and I want to see if you'll be sure you're comfortable with it. And now then I go back, and my next step is I'm just refining it and giving it back to them.
So you closed on the USP project?
I closed on the US project, and what they really want is they really want a website. And I told them, I said, we can't do a website until I have a marketing message with your USP. And then when I was able to explain that, and how that part of it worked, they were in agreement.
Okay, what do you get for the USP?
$2,500. You know, there's several meetings, and have a good relationship with them, and they're slowly, it's interesting in that at the beginning with them, as with other clients, they're very, very set in their own ways and their own mindset, but particularly after they've signed up for my e-newsletter, when I'm going back into talking to them, they are talking to me like I'm talking to them about marketing and are understanding. So I think one of the things I did that has helped me a lot and established myself as the obvious expert and their credibility is to start, I call it Paul Flood's Marketing Moments, my e-newsletter. I've got a fly-in on my website so people can sign up for it. And as a matter of fact, when you called, I was on the phone with someone else who I met her at a Cincinnati Internet Marketing Association, and she called me and said, I've got a lead from you. I looked at your website. I like what you do, and she has a referral for me. She wants me to help one of her clients out.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you're a common denominator. You're getting clients because you're out there. If you were sitting at home, not being out there, I don't think you'd have any of these clients.
Oh, no. You're absolutely right. And then between that and the conversation with Dave Flannery saying, hey, you've got a system, you know marketing, use it on yourself. And that's really been a big difference to say, I'm a marketing consultant. Now especially I'm telling people you should have a newsletter, and they look at me and say, what's yours? Now I can say, here it is.
There you go. So that newsletter is directly brought you a good qualified lead here.
Yeah, just getting out there and talking to people. I'm good face-to-face. And meeting people and saying, let's just get together and I'll see if I can help your business out. Another guy that wants to meet with me, once again, I was on vacation for the week, but it was an accountant, and I asked him, that was at the BNI group. It was funny, they kicked me out of the BNI group. They won't let me into it.
Why not?
Because one of the people sells newspaper advertising. She's a young girl. And she was threatened by me because I kept saying, you don't need to advertise to increase your business. And then the guy, the president of the chapter, calls me and says, I got bad news. And I said, what's that? And he said, actually, you've been disinvited. And he said, it's basically because of your business model. One of the people, he said she feels threatened by you.
Well, you must be doing something right.
Yeah, and actually she came to one of my seminars. I gave a three-hour seminar, and she was there. And I kept looking at her and said, by the way, I believe in advertising if it's good and if it's well done and it brings in business. The typical advertising that's run in a newspaper, it gets absolutely nothing. So if you're selling stuff that's not bringing your customers revenue, then you're selling them a bad product. But with this accountant, I had met with him, or I saw him at the BNI meeting and said, what's your ideal client? And he said, a small to medium-sized business. And I said, what is the, how many of these types of accounts do you have? And he said, I have 300. And then I asked him, where do you get the majority of your business? And he said, we get about 70% from referrals. And I said, where do you spend the majority of your marketing dollars? And he looked at me and he said, I understand what you're saying. I said, if you're spending zero money on getting referrals, what would happen if you spent 70% of your time and money on a referral program? I went through his brochure and I said, you just got up and gave a very compelling case about why I would want to use you as a CPA, but none of those benefits are in your brochure or on your website. I said, so, this is how I can help you. And that's just that he is still just a prospect because he picked up a big project and had to cancel the meeting that we had. So I've got an architect that wants to work with me at the end of the month. He had some employee issues that he wanted to address beforehand, and he does architectural programs for schools and churches.
How'd you meet him?
I met him at a Chamber of Commerce. He had a trade show. He had a booth, and so I got his card. I started talking to him. He's also on the board of the Community Foundation, and I think I told you that I'm doing some gratis work there to get my name out. So I said, I'm the guy that's doing the gratis work for the Community Foundation. So he said, well, let's get together for lunch. And so I did the opportunity analysis at lunch, and he was having cash flow problems at that time. So I talked to him about a week ago, and he said, I'm ready to go at the end of this month. You know, I told him $2,500 a project.
That's great. What advice you got for the new consultant, Paul?
Work the system in your own business and keep it going, and be sure that you are doing what you're telling your customers to do, because when they see you doing it, and you're able to say to them, well, I'm in here because I worked the system on myself and you wanted to see me as a result, obviously it works. So what you need to do now is implement it in your business. And just keep up with people. Keep calling people. The people who say no, you know, stay in touch with them. Send a letter, send a card, send an email. Give them a phone call and say, are you ready yet? The three newest ones I have, I had to call them 5 or 6 times before they met with me and are ready to go. But just being persistent.
Thank you very much, Paul. For more great interviews on marketing, consulting, advertising, copywriting, direct mail, and business growth, please go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Hello, this is Richard.
Hey, Richard, it's Michael Senoff. How are you?
Hey, Michael, I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thanks for letting me call. So let's see, how long have you now been a HMA consultant?
Since the summer of 2006.
Summer 2006. And when had things started? At first, there were some challenges, right?
Yeah, there are challenges, mainly because I haven't been able to do it on a full-time basis. So I haven't done it as systematically as I would have if I wasn't also involved in another business venture. You know, I started out doing marketing consulting with my business partner before I became an HMA consultant. And it was really frustrating for both of us because I was doing things more in reaction to what he wanted me to do than what I wanted to do to help him grow his business. For instance, he would have me work with his webmaster to redesign his website. Well, that's before we had done a USP, you know, before we had really honed down what his message was, before we had client testimonials. We were really doing things out of order, and I was really doing things by the seat of my pants. In fact, one day I was in his office, and he asked me a question, and then his phone rang, and I didn't have the answer to his question, but while he was on the phone, I opened up my laptop, and I read some stuff by Dan Kennedy that he had written. I had his PowerPoints on my computer, and I looked it up, and I had an answer, and then he hung up the phone, and I gave him the answer, and I was like sweating bullets, saying, you know, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. And that's when I started listening to your site on all your free content on all the and did an introduction to HMA Consulting, and, you know, I downloaded the opportunity analysis, and I really liked that approach because it was a systematic approach. And it was a proven approach, and it was something to where, you know, I could be driving the train, so to speak. I wouldn't just be reacting to whatever the client thought they needed help in, but I'd be taking them down a path that will produce results.
Now, are you still working with that company, or did you break off, or what are you doing now work-wise?
I'm still working with it. It's a digital billboard. It's a new technology.
I remember that. How is that going?
Well, it's taken a lot longer to get all the pieces in place. It's a big production because it's partly internet related. There's content creation matters. There's getting the screen out there. It's a front projection screen, and there's a series of projectors that work in tandem to project up the message. So that one's getting close, and in fact, it's put me in a little bit of an awkward situation because normally we don't work on media until we're a number of steps into the system because we want to fix their message. And to some degree, it's put me in the position of being, this is the way to advertise. You know, this is the special of the month where this is something new and neat. So what I've done as I begin to talk to potential advertisers is I help them with their message so that they'll have a better advertisement up on the billboard. So I'm going to be using it both as a back end so that once the message has been created and they know it's going to work, then they can get it up there on the screen and have it produce results for them. And then I'll also use it with clients that just want to do advertising, and I can show them how, you know, if we improve your message, then we can get a lot more results. And then I'll take them through the opportunity analysis and really try to get them as a consulting client. But I do have several clients right now, and I'm taking a different approach than Dave Flannery has, for instance, just because of who I'm getting in contact with. And, for instance, one of the planners, what he really wanted to get done was to have a trifold brochure. Well, normally, you could go out and create a brochure, but that's not really what he needed. That's what he thought he needed, but I knew what he needed was to have a USP because he didn't have one. So what I did is I just merged those two together so that while I went through the process of creating the unique selling proposition, at the same time, I was getting great client testimonials from his customers that I talked to, and we honed down the message that was all about him and his story of hard work and created a message that would appeal to the people that he wanted to attract as clients.
Which client is this? How did you get him originally?
Well, he's a financial planner, and my partner in the billboard business is also a financial planner, and he's a different financial planner. And what the three of us do, along with a estate planning attorney, is to put on living trust seminars. You know, that's been helpful. It's brought in a lot of clients. And again, learning as we go is that I've been doing this on spec, and it's been good. And it ended up, I'll end up having both of them as HMA clients. But doing six seminars, it hasn't resulted in a whole lot of money. The idea of doing it on a fee basis first and then going to doing something on a contingency is definitely the way to go. That financial planner, he's interested in having me help him build his business, and he wants it to grow. So what we did on the first step was to craft the USP and then create a brochure out of that, and I'm partnering with a printer who made it look beautiful. He's got all the experience with Macintoshes and all of that, graphic design. And out of that project, I now have the printer as a client because he has a new type of printer that allows large posters to be printed 54 inches wide, and he can print on wood, he can print on plastic, he can print on metal, vinyl, paper, and he's the first one on the West Coast to have one. And the other thing interesting, so I'm creating a USP for that part of his business, and at the very same time, I'll be integrating it into a television commercial.
The financial planner, the guys you're working with, are they paying you on per project, or are you doing contingency stuff?
It's on a per project basis. Yeah, $2,000 per project.
Okay, very good. And how many projects have you done for him so far?
Well, we're just starting the second.
Okay, good. You've been paid for the first.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now the printer, how did you tell me the process of from the first time you met, how you turned that into a paying client for just illustration purposes for any new consultants?
Yes. What I did is I approached him because I knew he did good work, and he's worked for my other financial planner client. We just redid a new logo for him, and I liked his work, so I went to talk to him. And I was going to talk to several of them because I just looked them up in the Yellow Pages. And when I started talking to him, I was really impressed with him and the work he had done. He showed me his portfolio.
When you first approached him, was it by phone to get an appointment, or did you walk in cold?
What I did is I called him on the phone. Called him on the telephone. And
what did you say? Do you remember?
Yeah. What I said, I just outlined the project that I was doing a trifold brochure for one of my clients. I explained I was a marketing consultant. And he explained, what they do and how they price it for 1,000 trifold brochures and how they include 2 hours of design time and how, they'll charge for additional design time if necessary and how they can take photographs because I needed to get some headshots done of the planner. And he really, he gave me his sales pitch, which was pretty compelling, just to say that, they can really make it look good and that this is one of the places that they specialize in. So what I did next is I went in and talked to them and looked at their portfolio and talked to him, and then I explained to him what I did, and I gave him a business card I had that, from his perspective, it was a really ugly business card because I printed it on my laser printer, so it was a white card with black print, but it had that wonderful USP on it, grow your business 25 to 100%, guaranteed. And
did you have without advertising in there?
Well, not on the business card.
Okay.
So it was shorter. I put that on my email signature line and other places, on my invoices and so forth.
So he saw that card, and then what did he say?
Well, he said two things. One thing, he said, "You got a really ugly card, and I should redesign it for you." But then he said, "You know, we need to have breakfast, and I'll pay because I want to hear about this, how you can do this. I want to hear about what you do." So he and I met for breakfast, you know, the following week. And, you know, he's a very busy person, but we got together, you know, at 7 a.m., and I just started going through the opportunity analysis and taking him, you know, through that process and interviewing him. And I was finding out, you know, more and more about his business and what he wanted to do. And at the end of that, you know, he said, "Well, look, this is really what I want you to focus on. You know, I'm just buying this new printer. It's a high-end printer. I'm the only one that's going to have it. And I really want to build that side of the business. So why don't you give me a proposal?" So then I said, "Okay, so I need to do a proposal." So what I did is to download, you know, some of the proposals that you have from other people. And I went through and I just kind of customized it to me and didn't make a whole lot of changes in it, but laid out the steps. And at the top, I would put either recommended step or optional step, but it did go through the 7 steps, and that went, that made it clear, you know, which was optional and which was recommended, which were the first 4. And I had it in at $2,000 per step, and you know, he came back to me and said, "Well, this, you know, this is all, it's all well and good, but let's just start with the first step, and you know, I want you to work with the people to get the TV commercial done." So he, you know, he's been in, you know, advertising and design, and you know, he doesn't understand the 7-step system, but he does understand the fact that it does have proven results, and he understands about the importance of having a clear message to differentiate his business from his competitors.
All right, so he wanted you to develop a USP to differentiate his printer from his competitors for the TV commercial.
That's right. You know, one of my kind of frustrations is that it's taken him a while to give me a list of customers. I mean, he's one of these people that doesn't have, he's got a database because he uses QuickBooks, so he's got the customers in there, but he's not, he doesn't market his database.
Okay.
So
did he pay you for the project yet?
He's paid me half.
And what are you charging for that?
$2,000.
Oh, so he paid you a grand.
That's right. And I'm happy with that. Your most recent interview with Dave Flannery was very inspiring to me because my fees are lower compared to the value, but the size of the businesses that I'm talking to, you know, they're in terms of revenue and employees, it doesn't support a higher fee. But yet, these are people that know me and trust me, and it's a great way to get started and build up my own.
Absolutely, nothing wrong with that. You know, Dave Flannery definitely had some good advice, and I don't know if this guy was willing to do it. And that's meeting on a weekly basis with the client just to, you know, keep things rolling. And that way, you know, if he's dragging his feet and he's not, you know, have you asked him multiple times for names?
I have to be more persistent. You know, again, I've got to be, you know, a little more systematic about it. In one sense, I'm too understanding. On the other hand, I'm using this extra time to read up on TV commercials. You know, I really want to understand, you know, how you tell a story in 30 seconds. Because he wants to just delegate it to me. He says, you know, if he had the time, he could do it himself. But he doesn't have the time, so he's going to pay me to work with the TV station to make it happen.
And he's going to run a local spot on television?
That's right. That's right. And at this point, we're looking at the Fox News affiliate that's out here, and they have a 10 o'clock news, so they run it 3 times a week.
Okay.
And then they repeat it at midnight, so it's fairly reasonable. In our part of the country, you can do, for $720 a month, you can run it 3 times per week on each of the 2 newscasts.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and they have the right demographics, you know, that match who he's going after, and he's trying to expand his geographical reach from our town, which is Grants Pass, Oregon, to the neighboring cities, which are bigger.
So he's kind of dragging his feet, but, you know, you're not pushing it because it gives you more time. To, you know, you've got 1,000 and you've asked him several times for names and he's not getting back with you. So you're not under any kind of timeline.
No, I'm not. Yeah. And in fact, it worked out much better because originally when we first talked, and it's what got him hot and ready to move, was a cable station was going to work with him. And they ended up, and instead of coming in and closing the sale, they tried to, you know, bump him up to a bigger deal, and it blew it out. It wasn't what he wanted. So that bought a lot more time to really do it right. I'm happy with that.
You working with anyone else, any other clients?
Yeah, actually, I'm working with a water lab.
All right, tell me how you originally hooked up with them, and how did you get them as a client?
It's run by a man who's attended my church. I got to know him through that and other community activities. And I knew that he and his wife ran that business. I knew they wanted to grow the business. And I just stayed in contact with him. It took a while because when I went in and I talked to both of them and I went through the opportunity analysis, that very week they had been in touch with Jay Abraham's organization because he has a mentor program that they might have gone and done. But when I explained to them about marketing consulting and the HMA system and how we do it step by step and how I do the work, which is different than a mentoring program. You know, J. Abraham might have given them a lot of wonderful ideas, but they would have had to do the work. They're too busy to do it. So what I did is, again, for that client, I had to create a proposal and give it to them and then just follow up and just follow up. And then when the money became available to invest in the marketing, then we started the program.
So you met with them at your church, and then you guys talked, and then you set an appointment for an opportunity analysis presentation?
Yes.
Okay. Where did you do it? At their place of business?
Yes, did it at the place of business. And I'd been in there once or twice before, but he took me on a tour and, you know, showed me around and showed new equipment that they had that was going to allow them to do all the testing in-house, which is something that was new. You know, as you get more experience, you really get to see the ones that really have the assets. And this is one that really had hidden marketing assets.
What kind of assets did you find?
One thing, it's geographic. They're the only one in our city. So that gives them an advantage. They had an advantage because they've been in business since 1978. So for our general region, they're the oldest. They also had new equipment, giving them the in-house capability. But even bigger than that, they had custom designed a software system that allowed them to notify their customers of their test results. Because generally what happens is that someone is working with a realtor and they're going to buy a house. And while it's in escrow, they have to have the water tested outside the city limits. You have a well, so you're pumping your own water out of the ground. And you don't want to buy a house that doesn't have good water. By going to an electronic notification, the realtors were getting the results much faster than they were before, which made them even happy. Fast and reliable water testing since 1978. That's the USP, you know, the succinct USP that I've come up with.
Did you close on just one project, or did you try and close on multiple projects?
Well, yeah, this one I closed on multiple projects. It's for $1,500 per month for 4 months, and I'm going to do 5 projects. So the math works out to about $1,200 per project.
Uh-huh.
Again, you know, you look at the specific situation. They don't have a sales force. You know, it's a smaller company. I really think it's going to give me some great testimonials, you know, as the business grows.
Yeah, and some great experience, and the money's not too bad either.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
Anyone else in the works or that you're currently working with?
Some other ones are in the works. They haven't happened yet. You know, I've set up an appointment with the estate planning attorney in July so that I'm going to go in there and talk to him about sending out some endorsement letters. So I'd really like to use that approach to get new clients, just to work through attorneys and accountants and people that have clients that want to grow their business. And I can, you know, work through that referral. Living Trust Seminars, I mean, I've brought a lot of business into that law firm, so I think, you know, I'm hopeful that he'll want to help me out and send out some letters to his clients.
Have you been listening to some of the other, the newer interviews, like the Sandler Sales and the guy on Body Language, Kevin Hogan interview?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they're all very good. They're all very good. You know, I especially appreciate the fact you have them on their own page, so whatever's hot is right there. I can find it and listen. And it's really good. You know, the idea of starting with no, you know, it's okay. You know, you start out doing the HMA opportunity analysis by saying, you know, this may not be a good fit. It may not work for you or it may not work for me, but let's just see what happens. And you're letting them know that it's not going to be a high-pressure close, and I really think that's going to be effective. So, yeah, I find it really helpful. You know, one of the best investments I made was a CD player for my car that plays MP3s. Pack a CD full of interviews, and wherever I go, that's what I'm listening to.
All right. Well, that's good. Any advice for the new HMA consultant? You've been doing it for a while. What words of wisdom would you have for him?
I'm really an echo. It's, you know, work the system on your own business so that, you know, you're following the steps for your own business. You know, you've got a great USP, you know, integrate it with your email and your invoices and everything else and try to start finding potential clients and giving them opportunity analysis and see where it leads.
Great. I appreciate it. Well, that's good. It sounds like things are going good for you.
Yes, they are. I'm really, really pleased. It's really neat. I find it, you know, creating the USP and the client likes it, and, you know, down the road, very shortly, it's going to lead to, you know, a bigger, healthier business for them. I mean, it's a great feeling.
That's great. Well, I'm glad you've stuck with it and you've gotten some results. And you know, every little bit you do, you become a little more confident and better and more experienced. And that's just part of paying your dues. It'll all pay off if you stick with it.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Good job. Well, thank you very much for, you know, taking this time and sharing with what's been going on. And I really appreciate it.
Okay, Michael. Hey, thanks a lot. And I really appreciate your website.
That's the end of our interviews with Richard and Paul Flood. I hope these have been helpful. Make sure you listen to these two or three times. If you have any questions for Paul or Richard, please email them to me at michael@michaelsenoff.com, and I'll be glad to forward them over to them. Thank you.